This is the Recency Bias. Yes, it's your morning after mini podcast. The morning after what, you may ask? I doubt you do, since you're listening to this, you probably got a pretty good idea. The morning after your Montreal Canadiens have played, or in this case, we're doubling down, as we have a tendency to do, when the Canadiens play back-to-back games on weekends. Because by the time I sleep in, get up on the weekend, there's not much point in putting one of these together, since we're usually only a few hours away from talking about the next one, which is what happened over the weekend. Canadiens play Friday night in Columbus against the Blue Jackets, and then Saturday night they return to the Bell Center for an encounter with the Philadelphia Flyers. They split those games. Let's start with Friday night in Columbus, shall we? Carey Price continued to remind everyone who he was, who he had been, who he is again. And the Habs outshot again in this one, a trend that hasn't been great as of late. They were outshot 35-26 on Friday night, but they managed to extend their winning streak to four games at that point, a 4-1 win in Columbus. You really tell when Carey Price is feeling it, as he has been lately, can't you? Just by looking at him in the paint. He holds himself differently. Meanwhile, Blue Jackets' Corpusalo, he looked shaky from the get-go. The Canadians, in particular Thomas Tatar, able to take advantage of a shaky Corpusalo. He in the nets with the Bobrovsky weirdness going on in Columbus, as he's a free agent at the end of the year. He likely will not re-sign there, at least going to test the market, so they're not sure what to do with Bobrovsky. I don't know. Sounds like they'll probably trade him. Where would he go? I mean, he's a rental. He's said as much that he wants to test the free agent markets and his right to do so. But it certainly brings down the value of what Columbus can get for him at the deadline. I texted my co-host on the Big Pod, the Montreal Bias, which we're cooking up a new episode of for you very soon. I just texted Sean to see, you know, where do you think Bobrovsky should go? As I was watching the game on Friday night, he suggested Calgary would be a good spot. I have to agree. I would make that team pretty legit in the West. It's a good team the Flames have out there. My other suggestion was Nashville. I don't know if that's very rude to Pekka, considering, but always good to have some backup, is all I'm saying. Your goal scorers in this one, Thomas Tatar with the only two to score. The only one to score, I should say, with a goalie in net. Though technically Armia did score, not an empty netter, though there was clearly no goalie in net. He was still on the ice, Corpusalo, trying to make the exit when the Canadiens were up late in the third. Gets caught on a bad, bad change. Open net for Joel Armia. He would add a second, though would have been the first time in Montreal Canadiens history the same goal scorer scored twice into an empty net in the same game. On the technicality that Corpusalo was still technically on the ice when he scored his first, he didn't get that special record with his 5-6 on the season. Dimension Tatar's Duda's 15-16 on the year for him. So, a nice win. Put the Habs at 27-18-5 at that point before last night, Saturday night. Never an easy win in Columbus. Hadn't won a game there in 4 years. So good for them for going out there and getting a win. Coming back to the Bell Center, though, last night on Saturday. Bizarre schedule, flopping them all over the place. This is the end of the bizarre stretch of the schedule, at least, though. Yes, the lowly Flyers in town, as the Canadiens were attempting to put their win streak to 5, came up short as the Canadiens lose 5-2. I did not catch this one live. Had to rewatch it in the aftermath because I trekked out into this snowstorm. It's hitting Toronto just like hitting Montreal, hitting Ottawa, hitting much of North America, at least the eastern side. But I trekked out to get some delicious Korean barbecue on Bloor. And I did so, one, because it was freezing cold and barbecue sounded like the perfect thing worth journeying out for. But I also kind of had a feeling the Habs are going to lose this one. Sometimes you get the sense there's a schedule loss coming. I sort of expected it, maybe in even Columbus, but no. Came in this one. And I know the Flyers do suck this season. They're having their troubles. But I would have been extremely impressed if the Habs had managed to convert this one. And in the end, they didn't, but I thought they were still pretty impressive throughout the game. If you've read Mark Dumont over on The Athletic, his comparison of this game to the episode of The Simpsons where Homer becomes a boxer, I thought that was really apt, where, you know, Homer just takes all the punches because he can't until his combat partner is exhausted, and then he goes for the win. That's kind of what we saw the Canadians do. Well analyzed by Mr. Dumont. Or rather, what we saw the Flyers do to the Canadians. Habs throwing all kind of punches, trying to get this win. They looked hungry for it, nearly going. I mean, they would outshoot Philadelphia in this one. They threw nearly 50 shot attempts at Philly before things fell apart at the end of the second for them. When Konechny and Van Riemsdyk scored twice in the final 3 minutes of the second period, and that's when things kind of fell off for the Habs. And Antti Niemi, who was in between the pipes for this one, I might have put Carey Price in there, to be honest with you. You know, they got one more game this week before a long stretch of time off, and we know Price isn't going to the All-Star game now. So they got one game on Wednesday against Arizona. They'd had a couple days off. I know they'd played a lot of hockey lately, but, I mean, Price hadn't been playing in any of those back-to-backs. I don't know. I might have started him in this one. On the other hand, Niemi had been so good in his previous start earlier in the week with that 52-save performance. I guess he gets this one as well against the Flyers. In the end, as I say, the Habs do lose this one. Exhausted. They hit the wall in the third. You could tell there was really nothing left at that point. And rightfully so. Not an excuse, just a fact, folks. Domi, he managed to get another one in this one, though. So he's back active on the score sheet. His 16th of the season pulls him even with Thomas Tatar. They're both behind Brendan Gallagher for the Habs goal score lead. Domi with 2 goals, 3 assists in his last 4 games, I believe. He's putting the points up there. Kulak also getting one in this, his third. Kulak, as I mentioned on the pod earlier this week, has become that guy for the Habs. It's always one of them. Just the guy who shows up. You almost never heard of him. He plays well. He'll probably get a 3-year deal out of it from Marc Bergevin. And he'll be on waivers some way through next season or season after that. Am I wrong? We'll find out. 19 for 23 Niemi on the night. So not quite the performance that he put up previously. Well, what you gonna do? It was a schedule loss, I think. It would have been great if the Canadians could have converted on Saturday, but they didn't. Simple as that. You want to go out and beat Arizona now on Wednesday. Get those 2 points. The 2 points that, lowly teams. You can't be letting both Philadelphia and Arizona deprive you of any points. And it's a 2-game stretch. You just can't be doing that. Let's see what the Canadians are up against in terms of the playoff race. Everyone paying attention to the playoff race now. It's real. There's a lot going on in the NHL on Saturday night. Anaheim beats New Jersey 3-2. Colorado, they put up our touchdown of the night, 7-1 over the LA Kings. Not great in L.A. St. Louis beats Ottawa 3-2. Ottawa more concerned about what they're going to do with Matt Duchene right now. Dallas doubles up on Winnipeg 4-2. The New York Rangers beat Boston. Yep. You heard it. That's why it's a shame the Canadians couldn't get the W against Philly. Florida beats Nashville 4-2. Tampa Bay all over San Jose, 6-3. Minnesota edges Columbus, 2-1. Vegas, they also score a touchdown. 7-3, they beat Pittsburgh. And Calgary beats Edmonton in the Battle of Alberta, 5-2. That's your scores in action from around the rest of the NHL. Canadians right there, tied with Boston. 59 points each. The Canadians have played one more game. Buffalo, 5 points back of them. They've really fallen. Buffalo, I thought, had banked enough points to at least guarantee themselves a playoff spot. But no, they're now at 54, having played two less games than the Canadiens. Interesting race. Toronto, they're at 60 points right now, having played three less games than the Habs. And we'll go against Arizona on Sunday night. Things are good in the standings. They're tight. They're fun. I really thought I've had my doubts about this team all season long, as anybody who's been listening the whole way knows. But they keep impressing me. I thought this stretch over the next few days might be the kick to the shins on the Canadiens' playoff choices. At least put them, in a bit of dire straits where they'd need to come back from the bye and the All-Star break, ready to really shoot out of a cannon and get some points if they weren't going to lose too much space in the race. But instead, they've got themselves well in the thick of things with everybody else. As other teams have struggled, the Canadiens, sure, they've had some little bit of adversity here and there this season, but kind of continue to plug along the exact same way, even if the playing style shifted a little bit. Hey, Saturday night, we saw them outshoot the opponent. Of course, they lose that one. So that is what it is. Find me on Twitter, at ZachDropsTweets, at the Montreal Bias for the podcast, and at RabbitHabs for the amazing RabbitHabs.com website content. Indeed, until one more game, and then not many pods at all. Very few pods for the next few weeks. That's why we'll try and bring you an episode of the big one in there to make up for the fact that things are quiet in the middle of January. Not the best time for hockey to go away, but give me a chance to rest my voice. All right, let's get out of here. Till after Arizona on Wednesday, take care.